right. As Bruce mentioned moments ago, be in prayer for Pastor Ronnie, who left our service about 10:15. And so I get the opportunity today to preach to you a message that I've had a whopping 15 minutes to prepare for. So y'all be praying for me as I deliver the message today. So my message today is, don't you dare try to live your life without faith. Don't you dare try to live your life without faith. You know, it's good sometimes we talk about all the promises of God. We praise God for His faithfulness. We praise God for He always answers our prayers. And God is always consistent. Human beings, on the other hand, sometimes we're not consistent with our faith. I'm going to read several verses from the Bible about the subject of faith. In fact, the word faith shows up in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. And it's important for us to have faith. In fact, it's an expectation from our God that we exhibit faith in our lives. And we're gonna start out with a couple of verses that all of us know. Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9. This is one of those couple of verses I had memorized from a long time ago. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. I'm going to read it out of the NIV because I've remembered it from King James. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we see that our salvation comes through faith. Again, anybody who tries to tell you that works is part of salvation, you remind them the Bible teaches that salvation is grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The Bible's very clear about that. So our faith is important for our salvation. We also learned that our faith is important for our justification. I'm going to speak about that just momentarily. In Galatians chapter 2, also reading from the New International Version, verse 15 and 16, Paul writes, "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners," that's in quotes, Gentile sinners, "know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." There it is again. We cannot earn our way to salvation. We can't follow the Ten Commandments, try to follow them perfectly, and expect God to bring us to heaven through our works. And that word justified, if you ever want to know what does that word justified mean, here's an easy way to remember it. Okay, justified. The word justified means it's justified, never sinned. Justified means justified, never sinned. That's the condition that God takes a sinful soul, and through His grace and His mercy and our faith, He makes us right with Him again, just as if we had never sinned. So we have salvation through faith. We are justified through faith. In fact, we learn, and I'm going to read this verse here last, but we cannot please God without faith. We have to have faith in order to please God. And that's in the book of Hebrews. But I'm going to read a few sections from the book of Matthew. Several places where Jesus did all kinds of wonderful miracles. He healed people. As you know, He healed the sick. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead. And in every case, He talks about the people who are around who have faith. So the first segment I'm going to read is from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. This is called the faith of the centurion. And a centurion was a Roman soldier. And that word centurion, we get the same word century from that. A centurion was a Roman kind of a high-ranking official who was in charge of 100 men. Well, centurion comes to Jesus as Jesus is entering into Capernaum. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason he mentioned Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to get to that here momentarily. Jesus said, nowhere in Israel have I seen anybody with such faith. This centurion, this man said, Jesus, all you need to do is say the word. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus had power. Jesus had angels he could send to go heal this man. He had the ability to do it remotely. The centurion had that faith. Amazing. We move over to one chapter, to Matthew chapter 9. Jesus deals with another paralytic. Jesus stepped into a boat, verse 1. He crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. In fact, I preached a whole sermon about this. It's awesome. It's an awesome story. The teachers of the law didn't really say a whole lot when Jesus was healing people, but here's Jesus saying, oh, your sins are forgiven. And oh, boy, they were a bit miffed at that. They didn't like Jesus telling somebody their sins are forgiven. Only God can do that, right? Well, they were right. Jesus is the Son of God. At this, some of the teachers in the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. In verse 4, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. Jesus did this by design. He did it in that sequence. He didn't heal the man first and then tell him his sins were forgiven. He told him his sins were forgiven. Now he's got the attention of all the people and all the teachers of the law. Oh, really? You can forgive sins? Yes, and I'm going to demonstrate, Jesus says. I'm going to demonstrate that I'm the Son of God. I've got the power to forgive sins because I'm going to heal this man on the spot. And then he did it. Jesus said, when he saw their faith. Matthew chapter 13. We see what happens when there is a lack of faith. We actually see several times in the Bible. Sometimes we human beings, we fail to have faith. And there are repercussions to our lack of faith. And here's an example. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning in verse 53, Jesus returns home. It's actually a sad story. So Jesus is teaching all these parables. We read all about these parables: the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the net. And when he finished these parables, verse 53, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas here with us? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all of these things? One of the saddest verses in the Bible, verse 57. And they took offense at him. Here's the Son of God coming in all his glory and healing people and teaching with power and authority and doing all the wonderful things that God the Father had given him power to do, and people in his own hometown took offense at him. Verse 57, Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Faith is important for living. So let's ask us all a question here. When we pray, do we pray bundled with faith that God will accomplish what we are asking Him to do? The Bible teaches us that when we pray, we are to pray believing that we will receive the answer to our prayer. So do we do that? Do we pray believing? Do we pray with faith? Or do we do the opposite? Do we pray, hope for the best, be prepared for the worst, that kind of thing? Do we pray and then when we don't get what we ask for, we say, "Oh, I knew it! I knew God wasn't going to hear me." That's not praying with faith. That's not praying with faith. Let's move on to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus gives credit to a woman with enormous faith. Chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." And this response of Jesus in verse 24 might actually sound a bit harsh. It might sound cold, but you gotta listen to the whole story. You gotta listen to the whole story. Jesus answered, verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." This woman's a Canaanite woman. She's outside the fold of the Jews. Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." What? Seriously? Jesus only cares about the Jews? Jesus doesn't care about us Gentiles? Really? What's going on here? Oh, you gotta listen to the rest of the story. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And here's Jesus again saying something that sounds really, really strange, sounds awkward to us. Verse 26, he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to their dogs." What? What is Jesus talking about? I can't understand this. Listen to this response in verse 27. "Yes, Lord," she says, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This was the response that Jesus was hoping for. This was the faith that Jesus was hoping for. Verse 28, Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith." Great faith. Your request is granted. It's not that Jesus wasn't going to heal this the daughter that had demon possession. It wasn't that Jesus was trying to be, you know, I've heard people say, "Oh, Jesus was racist." Come on, give me a break. It wasn't that Jesus was sexist. He wasn't discriminating. Jesus was trying to prove a point here. He's trying to see, "Hey, woman, hey, I need you to demonstrate faith." And Jesus says, "Woman, you have great faith." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Isn't that awesome? Jesus tells us, Matthew chapter 17, all that we need, the faith that we need. There was a demon-possessed man who had seizures. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and read this. It's a boy who had a demon inside of him, and the disciples came, and they had tried to extract the demon from the child, and they failed to do it. Okay, so here's verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Here's another verse from Jesus. Like I said, on the surface, it sounds harsh. It sounds cold. This is our Lord and Savior. But as always, you got to listen to the whole story. Verse 17, this is Jesus' words, red letters. "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? "Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Hey Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out?" Verse 20, Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." You ever seen a mustard seed? You ever go to the store? I don't think I've ever used it in cooking, but you ever see the mustard seed? Jesus talks about how the mustard seed is the smallest of the seeds, but when you plant it and it grows a tree, it's a huge tree, and the birds are able to land on the branches and so forth. Little tiny mustard seed. He's like, that's all the faith that you need. You don't need to have enormous faith. He says, just need to have a little bit of faith. And there's a whole passage that I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter is called the Hall of Faith sometimes. Amen. The Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And, you know, it's funny, Renee just mentioned moments ago that she wants to do some more learning from the Old Testament. Well, here are some wonderful recaps of some Old Testament men and women who exhibited faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." And here we go. Here's the Hall of Faith. Y'all ready for this? Verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead." Interesting. Verse 5, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." Here it is, verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Verse 7. "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Fourth person, "By faith, Abraham. Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, 100 years old, 100 years old, Sarah 90 years old, "And from this one man, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Abraham didn't get to see while he was on the earth the promise of having descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore. He just believed God was going to make it happen. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. He goes on. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau with regard to their future. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bone. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, his parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Verse 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, for the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And then Paul goes on and says, hey, I don't even have time to talk about the rest of the people in the Old Testament that lived by faith. He tells us right here. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. All these, I love this one, verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. It was all to come. It was all future tense. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And I'm going to read a verse. This is one of my favorite verses. It's the story of Doubting Thomas. I mentioned this a while back. I preached a sermon and I pointed this out. Doubting Thomas, when Jesus had risen from the grave and many had seen him, what did Thomas say? No, 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 that can't possibly be true. Jesus can't be alive. We saw him. Thomas said, this is John chapter 20, verse 25. Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Thomas did a lot of great things, and as just like many of the other disciples, he went out into the world. He followed the great command that Jesus gave him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Thomas made it all the way to India, where he finally died. But he was a man who had a huge turn from little faith to great faith. And yet, what do we call him? Doubting Thomas. He's like, come on, man, you guys got to give me a break. You know, so Doubting Thomas had much faith. But at the end of the story, Jesus comes in. I love this. Jesus sneaks into the house. Says the doors were locked. And the disciples were all inside the house. And suddenly, Jesus appears among them. And Jesus says, peace be with you, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. He's telling Thomas, have faith. Have faith. It's so important that you have faith. And Thomas had the only possible response that any human being could have at that point. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And here's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Jesus told him, verse 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. He's talking about us. We didn't have the opportunity to be in Israel 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking the earth. We didn't have the ability to see the healings that He gave to people. The raising from the dead and the healing of the sick and the healing the lame and the blind. We didn't get to see any of those miracles. The disciples got to see those things. You talk about a faith builder. Getting to see someone raise a body from the dead, a body that's been dead for 4 days. Remember Lazarus? You talk about something that's going to build your faith. Whoa, did you just see this? This guy's been dealing with rigor mortis for 4 days and Jesus raised him from the dead. That's amazing. That's crazy amazing. They got to see firsthand the miracles of Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's us. I believe we still see miracles today. It's not the same kind of miracles that Jesus performed 2,000 years ago that were visible. But we see miracles today. Amen? We see miracles today. Jesus said we are blessed when we have faith. When we've not seen. We haven't had the luxury of having seen the miracles that Jesus performed. But yet we still believe. We still have faith. The Bible says we cannot please God without faith. But with faith, we have power. We have God's power. We have God's blessing. We have salvation through faith. We have justification through faith. Let's pray. Father, you are a great and awesome God. Lord, we are so thankful for these passages in the Bible that teach us about faith. God, we thank you for being faithful. We sing about your faithfulness, God. We thank you for your answers to prayer, God. We commend you, God, for always following through with your promises, God. Lord, we desire to have greater and greater faith. Lord, we know that Jesus is the object of our faith, and we know that our faith only matters when the object of our faith is real. And we're so thankful that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are so glad for this verse. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's talking about us, Father. We are so honored by that. And Father, it is an honor and a privilege to be called your child. Father, we are so thankful for your plan of salvation, your plan of redemption that you pour upon us, your mercy and your grace, your mercy that takes away what we deserve, and your grace that gives us what we don't deserve. Father, we just thank you. Father, as we exit here today, God, may we be stronger in our faith, Lord, that we may look at the examples from the Old Testament, that we may look at the examples that Jesus gave us, God. Lord, we just ask that you encourage us. Put the Holy Spirit to burn a fire inside us, God, that our faith may be ever increasing. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name.